and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess.
Hello, and welcome to episode 234, our special Quilt Con edition. I'm going to do this in two parts. I've only recorded one part, but it was almost an hour, and I think I could have gone on for maybe another hour. So I thought I'll do this, and maybe I'll post another episode later in the week or next week, continuing my thoughts about the show. But I can say that I had an amazing time. I thought it was a really strong show. It's only my second QuiltCon, so I thought it was even better than Savannah, which is a show I enjoyed a lot. Is only saying so much, right? But I did talk to people who have been to almost all QuiltCons. I have a friend who's been to 5 out of 6, and she felt like this was the strongest QuiltCon ever in terms of the quilts and the show. And I talked to another woman who had been to the first QuiltCon in Austin, and this was her second QuiltCon, QuiltCon number 6. And I said, all right, we'll tell me about the difference between that first QuiltCon and this one. And she's like, that was a baby QuiltCon, and this is the grown-up QuiltCon, which I thought was quite fabulous. So I'm recorded impressions. I've got to tell you, I'm tired. It's Monday, February 25th. I was on the road yesterday for about 9 hours, chatting the whole time with my friend Pat. So we drove home. Her husband's in the back, sometimes listening to us, sometimes watching the Michigan basketball game. And so it's been a lot of talking for me since Wednesday morning. I went down to QuiltCon to Nashville with, it's not really down, it's kind of, I don't know where it is. Who knows? I don't know where I am anymore. But when we left Wednesday morning about 6:30 a.m., and I think I've been talking ever since. So are you going to hear some epic rambling, some serious tangents? But I have to tell you, I think I always got back to where I started from, and that's some kind of record. I think I'm getting better as I get older. I think I'm getting more focused. No, that's not even true. That's such a lie. But I'm doing pretty good for me, and I'm going to post pictures of all the quilts that I discuss in the show notes, so you can go to offkilterquilt.com and follow along to the extent that you can ever follow along with me. But you'll see all the quilts that I mention. There's one that I talk about that I liked a lot and I took a picture of, but neglected to get a picture of the quilt description and the name. So I hope that by the time I get this posted, I will have found that. Because it was a quilt that I thought was just a really good example of very effective quilting. But that's enough of a preamble. You know what? Let's get on with the quilt diary. Just one. Let's get on with the quilt diary. Quilt diary, day one. This could be the only day, because I'm going to talk about QuiltCon. And I may talk about it for a long time, because for some reason I can't stop talking. By the way, it's Monday, February 25th. And I'm back from Nashville. I got back last night around 6:30. It was a long ride. If you live in the Southeast, I think if you live anywhere in this country, you're getting really crazy, wild weather. Here in the Southeast, which actually Tennessee is not the Southeast, but everywhere I know of around here within about 12 hours in any direction has gotten a ton of rain. And so there was a rock slide on I-40 around Asheville, close to the Tennessee state line. And that happened after, let's just say it happened Saturday. So it did not impede me getting to QuiltCon, but it meant that we had to go way around Asheville to get back home. And that added about an hour and a half to the trip. So it was a long ride, but it was okay. I was with my friend Pat. She is in my guild. She's on the board with me. She's our treasurer. And, you know, I feel like I've known Pat a couple of years, at least since, I think I rejoined the guild about 3 years ago. You know, and so it's like, hi, Pat, how are you kind of thing. But now that we have spent 9.5 hours in a car together chatting, I feel like she really is my friend. And it was lovely. It was really nice. It was a good ride. I went up. Let's just start at the beginning. That's the end. Now let's go eat our tail and go back to the beginning.
So I left for Nashville on Wednesday morning, a little after 6 a.m., which was horribly painful for me because I'm the kind of person who, if I know I have to get up very early for me, I will not really sleep all that well because I'm worried that I will not get up early. I'll sleep through my alarm, which I don't think I've ever done in my entire life, but I worry about it. So I got up probably before 5, and I had showered the night before, which meant I needed to spray hose down my hair, but not actually get in the shower. So we were on the road. I drove with Amy, who's the executive director of the Quilt Alliance, and I have a little bit of news for you. You know, I talk about the Quilt Alliance all the time. I love the Quilt Alliance. I think you should join. It's $30 a year. You're supporting a great cause. It also gets you a subscription to Storybee, where I interview all these marvelous quilters. I am now the president of the board. That is correct. You know, I've been volunteering very seriously with the Quilt Alliance for almost 4 years now, and I've been on the board for a year, and our old president stepped down, and we needed someone new, and, you know, it's a really good board, and they're comprised of really great people, which means, like, they're really busy people, like Mark Dunn of Moda and Bradley Smith of Aurifil and Mary Kay Davis, who works at the Quilt Show. Lisa Ellis, who's running Sakwa, or I don't think she runs it, but she's very involved with, you know, so these are people, it's like, and then there's me, and I write 3 hours in the morning. So I got a little time on my hands. And also, I love the mission of the Quilt Alliance to collect and preserve quilt stories and to document quilts. It's really important to me. So I am now the president, and we'll see how, you know, what I do during my reign. I'll keep you posted. So Amy and I drove together, and on Wednesday it was horrible weather. In fact, I had been, you know, I always like, because I should have just known it was gonna be horrible weather, because I can't seem to leave my, you know, the state without, like, oh, it's tornadoes and ice storms and blizzards all at once. It's so much fun. But I had just looked at the weather, and it's like, okay, it looks like it was rainy in North Carolina. It's going to be rainy in Tennessee, and it's going to be like 50 degrees. So the man comes home Tuesday night. He's like, well, have you been watching the weather? Are you concerned at all? I'm like, what? No. And it's like, so there was talk about sleet and ice. Well, Amy's from the mountains, so I'm just like, you know, she's cool, I'm cool. If I don't have to drive, I trust in Providence, and I trust in people who know how to drive. I mean, ice, you know, ice is tough. So I just texted her and said, are you concerned at all? And she said, well, we'll wait and see, but I think it'll be fine. And sure enough, there wasn't ice on the road. By the time we got up to Asheville, the trees were iced over. It was quite lovely, but we never hit any ice, so that was fine. We got into Nashville. It was great. It was about 4:30 our time. We're like, oh, and we were fretting because we were going to set up the booth, and we felt like we were getting there a little late. And then we remembered we're driving into Nashville. I said, wait a minute, it's not 4:30, it's 3:30, because they're on Central Time. So we gained an hour. We got the booth set up. My girl Holly Ann was already there, so she came over. She helped set up the booth. It was great. And I stayed in Nashville with Holly Ann and Quilt and Jenny, which was fabulous. We stayed together in Savannah. We will stay together at every QuiltCon from here on out, I assume. Forever and ever. Anyway, so got that set up. And the great thing about coming in, especially because Emma, who is actually on the staff of the Quilt Alliance, she was supposed to fly in. And I think our plan was maybe to pick her up at the airport on the way over to the convention center. Well, she got snowed in because she's in D.C. and she had snow. So I got an exhibitor ribbon to put on my, whatchamacallit. Jen, if you're listening, send me the word. Of course, you're not listening now because I actually have not posted this. But the lanyard thing that you wear, and then you put on, I have a quilt in the show, and I'm an exhibitor, whatever. And that meant that I could get on the floor before the floor opened on Thursday morning, every morning of the show. So that turned out to be a real bonus. So it was fun. It was kind of fun being there when everyone was setting up. Amy's like, you need to be careful. This is a really dangerous part of the show because, you know, there's heavy machinery going through and little dump trucks. That's not it. But you know what I'm talking about, the little you know, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I assume you do. So anyway, there was some machinery moving around and little, you know, not plows. I'm moving on. So, and of course it's raining. The great thing is, I'm trying to remember. No, Amy was able to give me and Holly Ann a ride over to our cute little house on Shelby Avenue in Nashville. It was about a 7-minute ride from the convention center, so it was perfect. The house, I have to say, looked a little sketchy from the outside. Inside, it was darling. It was not a hugely busy street, but not an unbusy street. It was very quiet. It was really cute, very small. Just a kitchen, small living room, and 3 bedrooms and 1 bathroom. But the bedrooms were all nice. I think I somehow lucked into the nicest mattress, and I promise I did not go in and start bouncing on the mattresses before anyone else had a chance. But I could be in my room kind of getting dressed or whatever. And one morning this happened. I thought everyone had gone. But it was a quiet house. So Amy dropped us off. You're going to get the blow-by-blow. And we immediately got in the car and went to Kroger and picked up stuff for dinner and wine and just started chatting. And we watched the awards ceremony, which I think in the past QuiltCon has done, the QuiltCon folks have done very early on Thursday morning. And they decided to do it Wednesday night and you could stream it. And I thought that was great. And so we watched and it was very interesting. Here's the interesting thing. So we'll talk about the Best in Show quilt a little bit. So the Best in Show quilt was a group quilt and it's called Smile. And it's an amazing use of color. There's a lot that I liked about this quilt. And so when I first saw it, when they said it's Smile, and we were supposed to be able to see it on the scene. If you were at the awards ceremony, you could see it. You know, it was on the screen. And I think it may have been that I messed up something or something, but we weren't able to see it. So of course, but looked it up. It's a delightful quilt. But to me, the most interesting thing is it's a group quilt. And I love the fact that a group quilt won. And it's a few days later, Saturday, when Sherry Lynn Woods did the keynote speech, and she was incredible. It was, I've always been interested in her and kind of had a fond feeling about her, whatever. And I've always felt she did really interesting work. Now I love her dearly. I didn't meet her. But there was just that I just really connected with her talk and just thought she was wonderful. But in her talk, she felt like, she said, you know, she'd like to see more quilters, not just making for, which is what we do all the time. We make quilts for other people, but making quilts with other people. And particularly people who might not be quilters, but I think there's some projects around the country where people are doing quilt making with recent immigrants, for instance, I thought that was a lovely idea. And I thought it was nice that she was speaking and talking about these things at a QuiltCon where a group quilt won. There were several marvelous group quilts. And there were also, of course, the Guild Charity quilts, I thought there were a lot of strong quilts. It's a tough thing to do. My guild, the Triangle Modern Quilt Guild, we submitted a charity quilt, and I'm proud of the work we did. It was the work of, you know, really a couple people were really in charge of that, and not, you know, and did a great job. But I think it's hard when you're trying to like get a lot of people to participate in a project and then figure out how to use everyone's work as it comes in. So, but there were there's a group quilt category. And I thought a lot of strong quilts, and maybe we'll talk about some of those. And I have tons of pictures that I can post online on the show notes, even though I think I'm on record now going, I hate doing show notes. It just keeps me, it makes it, it's just one more step to getting to you, my people. So that was exciting. It was kind of fun. I'm proud of my guild. We were one of the top 3 guilds in terms of having
quilts in the show. It helps that we have some super amazing quilters in our guild, like Michelle Wilkie, Nicole Neblett. We've got a new member who had three quilts in there named, in QuiltCon, named Brittany Lloyd. And I just met her for the first time. She's a nurse, and she's been she joined in the fall and has had a hard time getting to the meetings because she often works on Sunday. Amazing quilter. I met her. I had not heard of her, and then I followed her on Instagram. And she's got like 13,000 followers. I'm like, oh my goodness. And she was lovely. I'm so pleased to meet her, and I'm so pleased she's one of us. So anyway, so we have, and there's so many more really neat, really talented people in our guild. So I just looked it up. We had the second highest number of quilts. So I just got to brag on us because that is lovely. I've got it by the numbers. Okay. Austin was first with 18. We were second. Denver was third. We were second with 14, and Denver was third with 12. So anyway, just bragging a little bit on my guild, which I'm so very proud of. And now, okay, here's what you're going to have to deal with today, because it's Monday, and so I want to talk about all this while it's fresh in my mind, but I am absolutely fried, and so therefore I will, on my best of days, I'm rambling and tangential. This is not my best day, so you're going to just live with me and be my friend. Okay, so, and I just thought of someone who I say things like that, and it makes them laugh, and that is my friend Andra Walker, who I got to see, who was there blogging for All People Quilt. She told me she's a grandmother now. This woman looks like she's 35 years old. I don't think she actually is. I don't think she started having babies when she was 12 or anything. But what a delightful human being. Andra, I did it! It's Andra, as in Sandra, not Andra, as in Sandra. It was so wonderful to see you, Andra, and it just was. It was so much fun. It was so much fun to see, I saw my friend Cindy, who I know is a listener and is so supportive, just a supportive friend. It is, I say this all the time. I have been saying this since back in the day when the Quilting Podcasters had a meetup at Virginia Beach at the, what is that, the Mid-Atlantic Quilt Show? And when was that? Someone tell me. Was it 2011, 2012? It was me. It was Pam from Hit to Be a Square and Sandy from Quilting for the Rest of Us. If you search Quilting Podcasts on iTunes, she still comes up number one. And I think Sandy has made it kind of clear. She's got a big new job. She's still blogging about quilting, and she's still fabulous and very much a beloved member of the community, but she's not podcasting. It's okay, but it doesn't matter because she's still number one. And if you've not ever listened to Quilting for the Rest of Us, if you're like new to podcasting, you're like, oh, that one, you know, she's pod faded, which is not really true, but kind of true. But yeah, I'm not going to go back and listen to it. Go back and listen to Quilting for the Rest of Us from the beginning. Because one is that Sandy is a delight, but also she's got all kinds of information and would have themed shows. And for a while, she and Jay, who's art quilt maker, Jay, why? I'm sorry. And I'm pretty, and Jay's my friend. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm totally blanking. But anyway, she and Jay did a design series, so much good stuff on there. It's really worth listening to, especially if you like listening to podcasts like mine, except podcasts that are actually much more organized and focused. Well worth it, even though Sandy has stopped podcasting. But in any event, so Sandy was there, Tanisha, all kinds of other people, and again, I'm feeling like, oh my goodness, I'm blanking on people's names. Also, Laura White was there, who was not a podcaster, but lived in Virginia, and is someone I still feel pretty connected with over the years, just via Facebook, so it was so nice to meet her online. In real life, so nice to meet her online. Sorry, guys. I'm going to try to hold it together. Anyway, but that was the first time I had met up with people, from sort of online quilting world. I really hadn't been quilting that long or podcasting that long and really quilting that long either. But I started podcasting. Stay with me, please.
days. I'm sorry. In 2010. So we're about to, in May, it'll be the 9th anniversary of Off Kilter Quilt, if you can deal with that. And you don't have to if you don't want to. But anyway, what amazed me was these people seemed like friends right away. And of course, I knew their voices, right? And that, yeah, and I think that's an interesting thing when you meet people in real life that you've been listening to, as opposed to people whose voices you've never heard. You know, it's very cool. It's very cool. So, same thing happened at QuiltCon this year, seeing Andra and Cindy and all sorts of other people. Twilters got to hang out with Pam and Lynn from the Stitch Show, which is always so much fun. They're so much fun. And got to see Judy from the Twilters. And Judy and Rachel volunteered at the Quilt Alliance booth. And Judy mocked me quite a bit. Saw Glenna and her wonderful husband, Dusty, from Texas. There were all kinds of just really fun people to see. And it just makes me so happy. And I do. I saw Cindy. I was just like, oh, here's my best friend, Cindy. I never met her before, but I had. So, yes, that was a hugely delightful part of the show, was seeing people I've been friends with for a long time and never met. But I've met Andrew before. We met in Savannah. Andrew, Sam, just saying your name over and over and over to prove myself to you, since I've slipped once already. All right, the show. So what was nice, because I had the pass, had the thing, the whatchamacallit thing, I could just get it out. Oh, I can see it, the exhibitor badge. I was able to get on the floor early Thursday morning. Oh, you know what I forgot? So yes, I don't need to go into that. I've already, yes. Okay, moving on. Please move on. Okay, moving on. Anyway, so that was really nice to be able to get on the floor early Thursday morning and start walking around. Now here's the thing, you know, I'm going to write about QuiltCon, but I've decided, you know, it's almost like you go to a show like this, and it's big, and I know it's not Houston, it's not Paducah. I don't know how big Paducah is, but I'm assuming still bigger than QuiltCon. But it's big. You know, it's not like an art exhibit. I think I've been thinking about it. It's like, oh, I'll write about this as kind of so it were an art exhibit. But there were over 300 quilts in there, right? There were, let me see if I can find it. No, I can't. There were over 300 quilts in the show. I've never been to an art exhibit with 300 pieces in it. You know, I've been to art museums that had 300 pieces, but that's different than looking at a curated show. And my sense, just talking to people, I kept asking people, like, what do you think of the show? You know, what are you seeing? What are you really excited about? And it was almost like everyone was, you know, it was like a different show for everybody. And it was funny because, you know, I had one friend who just was not that impressed with the negative space quilts and the minimalism quilts. And then another friend who's like, negative space and minimalism, best parts of the show. Those are the best quilts in the show. And you're just, which is it, ladies? But everyone had different points of view. People love different things. Or you go in looking for different things. So, you know, my friend Holly Ann is she teaches free motion quilting. She does some online classes, and that's her thing, that's her bag. And she also, and part of her thing is really encouraging people to get beyond their fears about quilting. And you know, so she was but she was very much focused on the quilting, not to, you know, I mean, she was looking at other things as well, but that was part of what she was looking at. What's going on with the quilting here? You know, there's still in modern quilts, there's a lot of straight line quilting. And I think that is often, I think, in my opinion, is the kind of quilting that really enhances the kind of design you're seeing by and large. I also love straight line quilting. I just find that's the kind of quilting that I love to do. But, you know, there were certainly quilts I looked at that I thought could have benefited from better quilting, although I think by and large, the machine quilting is just getting better and better. There were a few quilts where I thought, I was actually surprised, and not so much even that they were poorly quilted, but there seemed to just be like no effort. The quilting neither enhanced the quilt nor was invisible enough not to matter.
if you know what I mean. So there's some quilting that you almost, it's like you don't even really notice it, and that's okay, because there are other elements of the quilt that are much more important. And there's some quilts where the quilting makes the quilt. There was a quilt that I liked a lot, and my friend Jen, Quilting Jenny. Hey, Jen, I hope you don't mind if I talk about you. But, and I'm going to find it, and it was another group quilt. All right, you guys, I'm so irritated with myself because I did take a picture of this quilt. It's a group quilt, and Jen talked about it. Jen was telling me about it. We went to look at it, and it's done by three people. Each person did one element of the quilt. Like, one person did the machine quilting, one person did the piecing. I'm kind of, as I'm talking with you, I'm scrolling through QuiltCon pictures to see if I can find it to get the name of the quilters and the name of the quilt. But as I understand it, the way they designed the quilt, each quilter lived in a different country. So it was based on the flight paths, I think. And Jen's probably yelling at me if I'm wrong. But I think that's right. So it's, and I will post a picture of the quilt, and I'm hoping that by the time I do that, I will have found the name. I'll text Jen about it. But for me, that was a quilt that, I mean, I loved the design, and I certainly love the story of the quilt. I think that's very cool. These people working together from different countries, et cetera, et cetera. But I thought the quilting really made it. And it was different. There was some straight line. There was some curvy, wavy quilting. And it looked like air currents. And different, you know, but different, you know, if you think about air currents, depending on the air, the currents are going to look different. And I just, I loved it. So that quilting so much. That, and that's what, for me, you know, I makes interesting quilting. Is when the quilting, whatever kind it is, actually enhances the quilt. I mean, that's supposed to be what's happening, right? I'm just saying something that's so hugely obvious. You're rolling your eyes, as you should be. Roll your eyes. Everybody rolls their eyes at me, right? I mean, at least I have two teenage sons, so it feels that way. I'm always like, you know, when I'm away from home, I'm always like, I miss everybody, but I miss my... And I'm always like, I kind of miss my dog most because he's the only one who doesn't mock me, at least at least not in my presence, right? Maybe he's mocking me to the other dogs in other places. But anyway, I was so good about taking pictures and then taking, you know, I take a picture of the quilt and then I would take the picture of the little description and the artist statement. Artist statements, I feel like somebody should do a workshop for quilters on artist statements. Some of them are fabulous, right? Some of them I just loved so much. And some of them are like, our guild had a two-color challenge and I made this quilt. I'm like, no, give me more. I mean, on the one hand, it's like, yeah, I understand. That may just be the whole of it, right? And at the same time, I'm just like, I don't know. Could you say a little bit more about something? You know, so why, even just like, why did you make the creative choices that you made? Walk us through the process a little bit. I love process stories. I'm all for process stories. So yeah. Okay, so I'm sitting here looking at, I took a lot of pictures. You know, it's fun. It's so hard because in some ways, there were so many quilts that I felt like if I didn't take pictures, you know, I wasn't going to really be able to think about the show as a whole. But I also think when you walk through a show with your camera in front of your face, you miss stuff as well. And so I wish I'd had a little bit more time just to walk, just to be. And I didn't. So my activities, I'll get back to the quilts, but more importantly, let's talk about me. So I signed up for some lectures. I did not go to all the lectures I signed up for. I did go to both of Mary Fonz's lectures, which, you know, she's a delight. She's a theater person. She has that theater background, and she never fails to be wildly entertaining and funny and have interesting things to say. So I always like seeing Mary Fonz talk. And then I went to Sherry Lynn Wood's keynote speeches, I've already told you, was just tremendous. They were, you know, they were very, what was neat is they were really different kinds of talks, because I don't think Sherry Lynn is a performer at all, but she was still a really good speaker. And there's something, because she's been engaged in this work and this art that she does for so long. And, you know, she has an interesting background. She was a divinity student here at Duke Divinity School, and she didn't finish at that time. She said she got her master's in theology, and I'm assuming from Duke that's 8 years later, and they actually let her do an art show for her master's thesis. So, you know, and I think that her work has very, very strong spiritual underpinnings. And in fact, a few of her own quilts she talked about, one was about manna, you know, manna from heaven, and is that a story from Exodus? I'm assuming, but I could be wrong. But, you know, so there were biblical themes, that's the obvious thing that's there. But I think there are, larger spiritual things, or perhaps less Christian-specific spiritual ideas at work in her work. I found her profound. I really did. And I wrote home, as I told you, with my friend Pat. Amy, who I wrote in with Amy, and she was staying until Monday, and I really wanted to get home because, you know, Travis. Travis the Quilt Dog, who is sitting right next to me, he's always the most excited when I come home. And so I asked if anyone from my guild could give me a ride, and Pat said that she and her husband could, and we had a great time talking. But she was saying she really would like to... did I tell you this already? Anyway, we were talking that it would be really interesting to do the kind of group work that Sherry Lynn Wood was talking about. We were both profoundly affected by Sherry Lynn Wood. So, but to do some charity work, not just for people, but and it wouldn't be necessarily charity work, but to do some quilting with people. And I hope we'll follow through on that. I would love that. So that I was supposed to go to a lecture on, it was called My Grandmother's Quilts, and I'm sure I would have loved it, but that was Saturday morning, and I got over to the convention center a little before the lecture was started, and I thought, I can go to that, or I can walk the floor pretty much by myself. There were huge crowds. It was really, there were really a lot of people. I'd love to see what the final tally is on how many people showed up, but it was a lot every day. So when I went to Savannah, I wasn't really there Thursday. Thursday doesn't count. But Friday, there were people there, and then Saturday and Sunday, there are tons of people there, right, because people are off work. And but this time, I was there the whole time, and it was crowded from the first second the show opened on Thursday morning. So lots and lots of people, and I'm seeing people, and I've got my Quilt Fiction podcast bookmarks and buttons. I'm also trying to connect with people, you know, say, hey, you know, listen to me. No, but, you know, so I'm passing that out, but meeting people, seeing people that looked familiar, and it turns out because we met in Savannah and all of that. So it was that it was hard, you know, when the show was open to actually really see everything. So that was I missed one lecture because of that, because I made that trade. I knew I'd probably find the lecture very interesting, but I just knew I really wanted to spend time with those quilts, and I'm glad I did. Otherwise, let's see. It was really a lot about talking to people. I spent a lot, not as much time as I thought I would in the Quilt Alliance booth, but a lot of time. And I'll tell you what, it was a great show for us. We have started, and we, Amy Milne, who's the executive director, came up with this great idea to do quilting kits for kids to sell at shows. And the kits include these, it's a whole cloth quilt block. So it's not piecing, right? It's really doing the quilting. But they come with a spool of Aurifil thread and a sew line marker and needles and directions. Emma from the Quilt Alliance built this great website so the kids can go watch videos on how to do stuff. But the idea is that, you know, it'd be great for grandmothers who want to get their grandchildren quilting or share quilting with their grandchildren also, but, you know, young moms who are there who have left their kids at home and need something to take back, right? And think, oh, that's really neat. It was very funny because you definitely got different responses to the bags from mothers of sons
mothers or daughters. And it's not a sexist thing. It's like, at what age are you willing to give a child a needle? And it's like, girls around age 6, even young, maybe 5, boys 9 or 10. What kind of damage is that kid going to do with that needle? But we sold out of those. We didn't have a ton. This is a new thing. And we brought, like, I think 36 or 37 and sold out very quickly. Like, we're sold out by Friday morning. But a lot of people came by. We got a lot of new members. It was interesting to me. You know, I'm not a good salesperson. I'm like, people kind of walk by and pause. I'm like, do you want to talk about the Quilt Alliance? It's okay if you don't. And I'm just saying this as an introvert because I hate when people approach me and I don't want to be approached. So, you know, and some people, you know, a lot of people said, yeah, sure, tell me about the Quilt Alliance. And some people just kind of gave me this thankful expression like, yeah, I don't really want to talk. Or some people say maybe later. I'm like, cool. Yeah, I'm just a terrible salesperson. That was when Rachel volunteered. I mentioned that, right, that I met Rachel for the first time, and she volunteered in the Quilt Alliance booth. She's grabbing people off. I mean, not, she wasn't aggressive, but really talking to people and chatting them up. And no, she wasn't giving them an option to opt out. You may not. You're here now, and I'm going to tell you all about the Quilt Alliance. And she also told them all about me, you know, Quilt Fiction Podcast and Off Kilter Quilt. So she was selling me for a while too, which was fabulous. I need to hire her just to come with me wherever I go. But yes, and so, but I really did talk to a lot of people, and some people, you know, sometimes would start out, well, you know, the Quilt Alliance really came out of the quilt, state quilt documentation projects of the 80s and 90s, which it did. It's the people who started the Quilt Alliance included people like Shelley Ziegart. So if you ever saw Why Quilts Matter, she did that show. But she did the first state quilt documentation project in Kentucky in the 1980s. And, you know, and just a group of people thought, we need to keep these going. We need to continue documenting quilts. And that's how the Quilt Alliance came about. So there were some people, I would take that tactic, and they'd be like, oh, I'm so interested in those projects. And, you know, there were people like, oh, you know, I'm actually a public historian. This is right up my alley, or blah, blah, blah. Other people, you could just see their eyes glaze over. As soon as you start talking about quilt history, they're like, And then I would say, do you like stories? And they'd be like, yeah, because everybody likes stories. I'm like, don't you think show and tell is the best part of the guild meeting? Of course, and everybody does. I've never met anyone who doesn't. Don't tell me if you don't think that's the best part. I don't want to know. You're going to ruin my spiel. But that was my spiel. But you had to gauge. Like, is this someone going to be a story person? Like, don't you love stories? And that was always good, too. I'm like, by the way, here's a bookmark for my Quilt Fiction Podcast because you're a story lover. But there are people who, once you start, and I would tell some of the stories and, you know, that we've documented and whatever. But that, for some people, that was the way to go. Not everyone. In fact, I don't know how many people signed up because of me. Probably one. Probably the rest of our signups were because of Rachel. Or Judy. Judy, yes, are you there? I don't know. Judy's behind on her podcast. I don't know why I'm pandering to Judy in this one. She probably won't listen until 2020. Anyway, Judy was funny. She's from Boston. She cracked me up. Yeah, so I did spend some time at the Quilt Alliance booth, and that was exciting. But apparently, a lot of the vendors were selling out. There were so many people there, and just a lot of stuff got bought. All I bought was a copy of Curated magazine, which goes about houses. I love house quilts. Who was it? I don't know how to say her last name, but it's Melanie Trezon. Had a great house quilt. If I think about it, I should do that right now for you. Let me see. I'll find it. But I loved it. I really do. And this was a nice issue. You know, all the issues of Curated Quilts are nice. You know, my complaint, I want more writing. I want more writing about quilts. But, okay. I'll try to remember to do the house quilt that I really liked. But I'm going through, as I'm trying to find it, I'm seeing all these other quilts that I loved. And I love so many quilts. So let's talk about quilts. What's going on in the world of modern quilting? A lot of statement quilts, a lot of political quilts. A lot of people really liked Sam Hunter's Why I'm a Feminist quilt, which I did too, and I liked her technique a great deal. So what she did is, it's kind of like a story about just things that have happened to her over the years that really made her a feminist. And she had it, the story, and I'll post a picture. You know what I'm going to do? Hold on. She had it printed out. At first I thought the whole thing was embroidered.
right? That she and the print is tiny, and it's on. And but no, she. I assume she sent something out to Spoonflower. But then she, but she did stitch the words "Why I'm a Feminist" by. I'm not sure I can explain this very well. They are, the story. The various stories she tells about why she's a feminist, that printing is quite small. Let's say that's a half inch high. The words "why I'm a feminist" are, I'm going to say that each word is maybe, let's say, 8 inches high. So all she's done is to make those words, she has stitched over some of the letters in the story, like to make the W and stitch an orange. So you're just gonna have to go look at the picture, because that's about as well as I can do to describe it. But it's a visually, I think a really interesting quilt, and I liked it. And it's in handwork. Handwork was one of my favorite sections. I'm getting really interested. I don't do, you know, I'm hand doing the handpiece quilt along with Patty Dudek of Elm Street Quilts and Kristen Esser of Simple Handmade Every Day, and enjoying that a lot. But I've never really done a ton of hand quilting. A little bit, you know, on the first birds and the traditional birds in the air quilt. I've talked for so long. Well, you can listen or not. It's up to you. You have free will in this matter. But I haven't done, you know, like the big stitch quilting and all that stuff. And I really like it, because I like how it creates another level of texture. Obviously, quilting quilts creates, you know, the quilting creates a level of texture, and some quilts more than others. But some of this handwork, you know, the quilting is really taking on, just kicking it up to a new level. And so, oh, I want to talk about this Heidi Parks quilt. You know, I may do this in two parts. There's so much to talk about, and so many quilts to talk about. And this is, and you're helping me. You don't know it, but you're helping me, because it's helping me think through some of my thoughts about the show. And yeah, and obviously, if you don't care about modern quilting, I think you've probably turned me off a long time ago. So let me find what I'm looking for. Okay, this quilt, and it's interesting, it's actually not in the handwork quilt category. I thought it was. It's an improvisation. The quilt is by Heidi Parks. It was part of the amazing Chicago Modern Quilt Guild. It's called "But Was That Me?" And it is. I will put a picture. Let me read you the description. This quilt subtly includes Marcel Proust's words, "What a task of remodeling is performed every day by habit." The starting point of the quilt is a yellow polka dot skirt that I purchased 7 years and 20 pounds ago. This is a girl after my own heart. The yellow waistband is contrasted with a pink applique tracing of my current waist. I approached this improvisationally, learning how I've changed over time. Transparent silks create an internal archaeology. I don't know why, like the words internal archaeology, I find very exciting and interesting. Allowing the viewer to see inside the memory of the quilt, revealing its history as well as mine. All right. The quilt itself is not a beautiful quilt, but I think it's an amazing quilt. And I have a certain friend who shall not be named here who knows exactly who I mean, who would disagree with me. Who not only would disagree with me, but did disagree with me about this quilt, which is actually one of my favorite quilts in the show. It is, in its way, kind of ugly, but I think it's fabulous for the stitching. And those the stuff that was under that kind of sheer, did she call it the satin? Yeah, I guess so. I just think it's so cool. And I will put all the pictures. I took a lot of close-up pictures. I'm so interested in what she's doing with the stitching here. I'm not sure it's something that I would do, but I love that she's doing it. Her waist isn't significantly bigger, by the way. But anyway, but still, you know. But it is. I mean, on one hand, it's kind of ugly, but it's kind of fabulous. And I'm sorry. I know. I really have no thought that Heidi Parks listens to this. I don't think she was trying to make a stunningly beautiful quilt. I think she was trying to do exactly what she said, and she I loved it. I thought it was so interesting. Basic things to tell you: a lot of curves, Modern quilters have gotten confident with their curves. There is a quilter, let's see, that's not her. Holly Ann, my friend, my girl Holly Ann, called this shape, I think it was Holly Ann, it was her or someone else, like eye-shaped, these kind of curves, or the other way to maybe look at it. Yeah, no, they are. Some are teardrop shaped, some are eye-shaped. Okay, I paused to look something up and I can't find it. But anyway, all kinds of curves, circles, stuff that looked very 1970s to me. You know, that in terms of color, in terms of if you watch The Partridge Family, you would know what I mean. If you ever saw any Peter Max kind of art, you would know what I mean. And I really like it, and especially the best of it, you know, of course, but like the best of it. But, you know, there's some people, you know, I'm always interested in what it's like, how, because quilting is art, and so we do idiosyncratic stuff at times, but it's also a craft. And in craft, we pass our ideas along, or we steal them often. You know, but we're always picking up stuff from each other. And so it's interesting to me what catches on, right? And actually what's interesting too, because there was an exhibit of Sherry Lynn Wood's quilts. And I noticed that she was doing some of this stuff in 2014. And so I'm not sure if she was the first person, but I think she's a quite influential quilter. So so there was a wonderful quilt, and I can't remember what Holly Ann told me it was called, but it's but the quilter put it in modern traditionalism. A quilter did a quilt called Big Island Sunset. This is Sherry Cifaldi Morrill, I think I'm saying that right, but it was called Big Island Sunset, and she called it an elongated drunkard's path. And it's a pretty cool quilt, and I'm going to try to remember to show a picture. In fact, we're going to walk back over there so I can make a note to do that. But so we're seeing a lot of what to me are kind of bright 1970s, bright colors. So, and I think more early 1970s. So we're not talking about avocados. We're not talking about the home decor colors, but more, again, think yellow submarine colors. Seeing a lot of that, a lot of curves. Seeing a lot more handwork than we have seen before. I felt like at QuiltCon in Savannah, saw tons of half-square triangles at work. And there are certainly quilts here that have half-square triangles at work, but not as many. Seeing a lot more curves and circles. Still seeing a lot of mustard. Mustard yellow, seeing chartreuse was a, you know, I don't know if chartreuse is green, yellow, or what, but seeing a lot of what I'm calling chartreuse, blues and oranges, less like red and black, red, gray, and black. And in fact, there was, I think, a couple quilts that were red, gray, and black, and they felt a little, like here's one that I actually really love, okay? So I'm not dissing the red, gray, and black. At all. So it was a fabulous quilt. It was in piecing. It was called Line After Line by Michelle Settle. And it's interesting because, of course, you know, one of my reject quilt was Sweep Edit. Of course. It's interesting, of course, because it has to do with me. I'm sorry. I've just been talking a lot. But because that was a red, white, and black quilt and gray. And so this is the same same color combo. And it's fabulous, but partly I thought, well, that's why Sweep Edit didn't get in. Yeah, that's the only reason why. But it's like they've got some quilts that are already, you know, working with this color palette in a similar way. But also looking at it, it's like I love this quilt, but I'm like, I think that's on the way out. You know, that's the fun thing about going to these shows, right? Is that you're, you know, seeing what seems new to and fresh to you, what seems a little bit old school to you. Saw a lot of plums and mauve, right? So, and here's the what surprised me. Didn't see a lot of print. So I'm just pulling up Victoria Finley Wolfe's quilt that was in the show. And let's see, called Cascade. And she did a class on the technique for this quilt. And Quilt and Jenny took it and said it was great. And she's using a lot of prints. in a great way. I thought I was going to go in and just see lots more prints. And it's not that they didn't exist, but they were often like in the very like tiny piecing. You saw a lot of tiny piecing, right? And I think, so for me, when I see tiny piecing, I think Sean Kimber. But, you know, other people who are looking at modern quilts and thinking of my modern quilts might say, oh, no. The small piecing is from so-and-so. So it's interesting, like, what your perspective is. So when I see circles, I think Heather Black, who's Quiltachusetts, but somebody else might go, not Heather Black. No, that's not where the circles are coming from. But it just really depends on, again, who you're looking at, who you're following on Instagram, et cetera, et cetera. So, but that was interesting to me, what seemed old school. And there were a few, overall, and I'm going to end this now, and then maybe I'll do a part two later. But overall, I thought it was an incredibly strong and varied show. And I'm just scrolling down through my pictures and going, wow, there's so much stuff, that just so many different kinds of quilts. Again, tons of curves, tons of circles. That, I think, is the big thing that's happening right now. And I had an interesting talk with someone on Saturday, who, you know, we were talking about that, and she's more of a traditional quilter and has experience at traditional shows and is a quilt appraiser and a judge and all this stuff. And she said, you know, and she's in a very large guild, and she said, you know, you bring in these teachers to teach the classes, these big name teachers to teach the classes, and then for the next couple of years, those are the kind of quilts you'll see in the show, right? And so that's interesting, and I want to kind of explore the sources. Who's really been making these quilts? Who are the teachers who are going around and teaching curves and teaching some of the stuff? Who are the influencers in the show? But yes, that just looking through, it's like that to me is the big thing. And we'll see. I'm looking at a quote that I really like, but it's like, it's flying geese, and it's great use of colors. By the way, I've seen a lot of blues, a lot of oranges and peaches, a lot of pink. I know, I'm just naming all the colors, right? Yeah, that's very helpful. But, you know, what can I do? I have a limited vocabulary. I've lost my thought. Train of thought, of course. But anyway, it's so interesting to see what's like peaking. I think we're at peak curve. What will we see next year? I don't know. My quilt sit-in was in the show, and I was proud to see it there. I was not embarrassed. I was not humiliated. That's always a scary thing. Well, not always. This is the second show I've had a quilt in. And I always remember from Savannah that Daisy and Tina were there, and they texted me. They got to the show before I did, and they texted me while I was on the road, and they knew I was so nervous. And they said, we saw your quilts, and they look great, and they're not wrinkled, because I'd been very nervous that they were going to be out. I didn't realize that they steamed the quilts. I'm like, oh, no. And that was like one of the kindest things anyone's ever done for me, is texting me and going, it's okay, your quilts look great. So that was a scary thing. It was actually kind of nice. Who did I go with? Probably Holly Ann and I went, and we found it, and we were standing in front of it. I'm like, oh, I'm not humiliated by it. How wonderful. And then Alyssa Haight Carlton is like one of the founders, I think, of the Modern Quilt Guild. She peeks her head. She's like in the next row, and she peeks, kind of opens up the booth curtain or whatever, and goes, you should be very proud of your quilt. It's a great quilt. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I wish it worked that way. But that was kind of a lovely moment. But it was just good to, you know, see it and that it had survived. You know, As I've talked, you know what I say? It's like, it's a quilt you don't want to get too close to. I feel like people enjoyed it. It's an enjoyable quilt. I was proud to have it in the show. I was not walking around going, well, it's probably going to win best of show. I wasn't like, this is one of the best quilts in the show. I'm like, I'm happy it's in the show. I think it makes people happy. I think those chairs make people happy. So that was a good experience for me in every possible way. But I'm not sure it was a pinnacle peak quilt for people going to the show, and that's fine. I think people liked it. But it's always just a good thing when you go, okay, I'm okay, it's fine, don't get too close, is all I got to say. I'll tell you one of my very favorite, and this may be my favorite quilt in the show. I'm not sure because it's very, you know, there's so many different kinds of quilts. It's hard. There's a little bit of apples and oranges going on. But it's a minimalist design. It's called Forest Through the Trees, number 4 by Carson Converse. And I think she had several quilts in the show. And it in some ways reminds me of a G's Bend quilt that I've seen, but not when I say that, you're going to think of a certain kind of quilt, and it's a different kind of G's Bend quilts, but she does a lot of overdyeing of fabric. And in fact, I think, I can't remember if it's in the, I think in the curated quilt magazine that I bought, she had an article about overdyeing fabric. Like, if y'all, this fabric in your stash you're not interested in, particularly prints, you can overdye and do some interesting things. And I think that's what she does. So it's machine piece, machine quilted without a frame, but it's hand painted. And it's black, white, dark gray. It's one of the quilts I really wanted to look at a long time. And it's interesting to me that it's hand painted, because you can see that. I don't know how else you would get those effects on the fabric, but I will put a picture of that on there. Okay, I could just keep scrolling through my pictures and keep talking to you, and I will talk to you some more, but I just wanted to get those first impressions down. And again, thank you, because this is helping me think my thoughts and try to straighten them out a little bit, which is hard when you've been talking for as long as I have, which seems like I started talking at about 6:30 on Wednesday morning and really haven't started. Even when the man picked me up from Pat's house, I just kept going and going. I'm like, I just can't stop talking. And I think because once I do, I'm going to collapse into a heap on the floor. But it was a great show. The best part was the people. The best part for me, besides seeing people who are dear to me, especially ones I'd never met in real life before, just was the general sense of community. I don't know, and maybe it's just this is one of the good things about being older. And in some ways, even though I had a quilt in the show, I didn't have a dog in the race. You know, I'm not trying to be a great quilter. I'm not trying to write books about quilt techniques, or I don't want to be a quilting, God knows I don't want to be a quilting teacher, and you don't want me to, no one wants me to be a quilting teacher. So, you know, a lot of it is I'm a writer. I got a whole different gig. So I don't feel competitive with people, which is good, which is unlike other, if I went to a children's book writing thing, you sell more books than I do, you suck, kind of thing. That's not happening at QuiltCon. So it feels like a very friendly place to me. But I talked to so many people just standing there looking at quilts, like looking at that Heidi Parks quilt, and so there was a young woman standing there, and it was funny because I was looking at the quilt for a long time before I looked at who made it. And I like Heidi Parks. I think she's a real artist. And so it was, and this woman was, she was really into it too. And I was just like, and I said, I think this is an amazing quilt. And she said, Heidi Parks is a genius. I'm like, this is Heidi Parks. Wow. But we started talking about it, and she was pointing out things to me that she found interesting and liked. I had a lot of conversations like that, right? That it was just, friendly. People just happy to be talking about quilts and thinking about quilts, and seeing these beautiful quilts and being part of this community. So I thought it was wonderful. Again, the best part was being with Holly Ann and Jen, and seeing Pam and Lynn, and seeing Cindy and Rachel and Judy and all my people, and Glenna, and just that was so fun. And but the whole thing was great. So will I be in Austin? I don't know, probably not, but 2021, it's Atlanta, so we should all go. All right, I will talk to you later. It was just one quilt diary, but there will be more to come. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.